Thank you very much, Pastor. Joy to be here today and to see all your bright, shining faces. And what a blessing to be in a house of the Lord and with God's people. It's been a great thrill for these years for me to go across the country and meet Christians. You know, you're not the only people in the world that are saved. Okay? There are lots of people out there that I have met over the years, and what a joy it is. God's family, meaning God's people, and it's exciting. I can't wait to get to heaven when we will be all together for all eternity. That'll be a thrilling thing. So take your Bible this morning, if you will, and open to the book of 1 John. The book of 1 John, I like this book, and you know, it's the first of the year, and 1 John, and so I want to have us look at 1 John chapter number 5 in your Bible, please. 1 John chapter number 5. And I want us to look at verse number 13 today. 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 13 this morning. All right. Here's what the Bible says. These things are written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just thank you so much for the Word of God. Lord, it's a light in the midst of darkness. Lord, it's a lamp at our feet and a light at our path. The entrance of thy Word giveth light and giveth understanding the simple. The Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder soul and spirit, joint and marrow, discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. Lord, how we pray there will be that fire that will light a fire in our soul. Lord, we need a fire in our hearts and lives. Lord, this world is so cold, and Lord, we need your fire. Lord, I pray you'll help us to keep the wood of the Word of God on the hearth of our heart every single day. And so, Lord, bless, we pray, save that soul that's here without Christ, stir the heart of every Christian. Save that person that thinks they're saved or not. Save that person, Lord, that is struggling about whether they're saved. I pray you work in a mighty way, and we'll give you the praise for it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. The question I want to ask you this morning is, have you started the new year right? Have you started the new year right? Now, I want to preach this morning and this evening on how to start the new year right, okay? That's what I'm going to preach on. I'm going to preach tonight on what to do, what you need to know to start the new year right. And you need to know what to do when things don't work out the way you think they should. Okay? You need to know that, because in 2019, believe me, there are going to be some things in your life that aren't going to work out the way you would want them to or the way you would thought them to. So I want you to come and hear that message so you'll know what to do when that happens, okay? So you can be prepared. It's a preparatory type message, okay? And we need to be prepared. We need to make decisions ahead of things. Right. We really do. I mean, you know, kids need to make a decision that they're not going to be immoral. Amen. They need to make that decision ahead of time. Amen. People need to make the decision that they're going to read their Bible, you know, and ahead of time. Before, you know, you get into some difficult straits. It's important that you have grace being stored up for when the times come in your life when, you know, you need grace poured into your life. You know, you need to store up grace. You store up grace by living for the Lord now, you know, when it's easy to live for the Lord, you know. You need to store up grace so when it gets tough, you'll be able to have His amazing grace poured in your life. I don't know how I'd be going through what I'm going through with my wife's going to heaven, you know, without having stored up some grace for it, you know. And so God can pour his grace in my life, say. So you need to know that. And tonight we'll be preaching on how to know what to do or to know what to do when things don't turn out the way you want them to or you thought they would, okay? So you need to be back for that. You can't start the new year right without knowing that, okay? What to do when things don't turn out the way you'd want them to in 2019, okay? Now, this morning, I want us to see what you need to have in your life so that you can start the new year right. what you need to have. What is it you need to have? Well, you need to have 1 John 5:13 in your life. 1 John 5:13, is it in your life? Now, it may be up here, but is it in your life? Is it in your heart? 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 13. Now, this is a great verse. I suppose that, I heard a guy say one time if the commies came in and took over and took all our Bibles away from us, and they gave us one verse that we could have from our Bible, and what verse would that be? And this preacher said, he said it would be 1 John 5:13. These things are written to you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Amen. We can know we're saved. I like that song, saved by the blood of the crucified one. I love to sing it, saved. I'm glad I can sing that with authority. Saved. I'm not, hoping or think I'm saved. I'm glad that I can sing that with great certainty, Some people say, saved? Me saved? Well, you can't know that, I tell you what, the word of God comes across, saved. And that's what you need to have. You need to have 1 John 5:13 in your life in order to be able to say, saved, say, with authority, with confidence. You need 1 John 5:13 in your life. It's a great verse. And it's a great truth that we can know that we're saved. Now, this is such a great verse for, I think, three reasons. Number one, because it tells us that we can know now that we're saved. We can know now that we're saved, Amen. That we're going to heaven. Say, we can know it now. We don't have to hope or think. We can know it now. Say, we can know it now. A lot of people don't know that you can know it now. A lot of people think you can't know that now. You got to wait till you die. And your good works put over here, your bad works put over there, And if your good works outweigh your bad works, you'll go to heaven. Well, that's what I used to think, but that's not in the Bible.
That's
right. Say, we're not saved by our work. You're not saved by your work. You're saved by the work of Jesus Christ already done and finished at the cross of Calvary. Say, you're saved by putting your faith and trust in His work. Say, not yours. People say, well, you can't know that for sure. The reason why they say that, because they think it's on works. Say, and I always like to ask somebody who thinks it's on works, well, how many works you got to do to know you're going to heaven? They don't know. That's why they don't know. That's why they can't say, saved, Because they're basing on their works and what they do. And they don't have that certainty that they're saved because they're trusting their works rather than the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. See, Jesus said, it's finished, it's done, it's completed. We're not saved by our work. We're saved by trusting His work. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, not of human works, lest any man should boast. And so we can know that we're saved now. I'm so glad that I can know it now. I don't have to go through life, well, I hope I'm saved. I don't know for sure. I can know it now. I don't have to wait and, when I get to heaven, man, I hope I got a lot more works, than I do bad works. I'm glad I don't have to do that because I can know now I'm going to heaven and not to hell. Most people think, it's based on their works. That's why they'll never know. You need to turn from trusting your works and trust the finished work of Jesus Christ. Say, if you're ever going to know now that you're saved. I was in West Virginia a number of years ago, and there was a lady and her husband that were in that church I knew very well. They were a great help to me. I was going to seminary. They'd send $25 a week, to help me out. Excuse me, it was a month, $25 a month. And that was a big help back in that day, $25 a month. And they were good people, wonderful people. Well, I was in their church, and the husband had died, but the lady was still faithfully serving the Lord in that church. And she came up to me after the service was over one night. She said, Brother Gilmore, she said, could I tell you something? It's just been a great joy in my life. I'm just exploded about it. And I just got to tell you about it. I know you'll enjoy hearing. And I said, sure, I'd love to hear it. And she said, I work at a rest home, and there's one wing of the rest home goes that way, another wing goes that way, and I got switched from the wing of the rest home I normally work at, and I got switched this other wing, And she said, I'm standing there at the nurse's station, and here comes this elderly lady up, and she comes up, and she's she turns to me, and she says, you're new here, aren't you? I said, well, no. She said, I just work in the other wing. I got switched down here for today only. And she said, well, I've been asking everybody a question around here, and I'd like to ask you this question. I've been asking doctors and nurses and everybody I can, and no one seems to have an answer to it. And I didn't have any idea what the question was. And she said, can I ask you the question? I said, sure. And I tell you what, folks, I never would have dreamed she'd ask this question. It's the greatest question I've ever had asked me. And she said, is there any way I can know now I'm going to heaven? That was the question she asked me. She said, you know, have you ever had anybody ask you that question? In my entire life, I've never had anybody ask that. I'm looking forward to it. I hope it happens, you know. But I never had that happen. And she said, I was shocked. She said, I stood there just kind of dumb, you know, in my reaction, you know. And then I said, well, yeah, I can show you it's right in the Bible. She says, is it? Yeah, it's right in the Bible. Well, could you show it to me? And this lady told me, she said, I said, I sure can. She had her Bible with her, and she took her down to the room where this lady lived. The lady took her down to her room, and this friend of mine opened up her Bible and took her to the book of Romans, you know, the Romans Road. Romans, and she went through the Romans Road. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And she gave her those scriptures. And she said, ma'am, would you be willing right now to get down your knees here in your room and ask Jesus Christ and put your trust and faith in him and what he did at the cross for you? And she said, yes, I would. Amen. And that dear lady got right down there by her bed, and she called on Jesus to save her soul. It was a sharp prayer. You know, you don't have to pray a long prayer to get saved. You know, you just look to Jesus away from yourself, put your trust in him, and just totally depend on him. That's all it is, just depend on him. You know, quit depending on yourself, your church, or whatever. Just totally put your faith and trust in the Lord. And that's what that lady did. And as soon as she prayed that prayer and that put her total dependence on Jesus Christ as Savior, all of a sudden, that lady just filled the room with praising God. I mean, she just started praising the Lord. I mean, she just started thanking the Lord, and all through, just kept on. I mean, this lady telling me, she said, Brother Gilmore, I've never sensed the presence of God so real in my life. As that lady began to praise the Lord, that now she knew she was going to heaven and not to hell. Instead of waiting and hoping that, you know, she might do enough good works. Now she knew, you know. And by the way, you don't get to heaven by your good works anyway. And now she knew, and she's so thrilled about it. She is praising the Lord. By the way, there's a lesson learned. If we really want God to be with us in our life, and you really want to know the presence of God, you praise him. Amen. Don't complain and gripe. That drives God away. I mean, don't murmur and say, oh, you praise him and thank him for all he's done for you. That's the way you bring the presence of God in your life. And so she just praised the Lord. She said, I felt like I was walking on holy ground. This lady telling the story. I felt like I was walking on holy ground, you know, like Moses did. She said, I felt like taking my shoes off. I was walking on holy ground. And you know something? That lady, she moved from saved, you mean me going to heaven, to saved. Now I know it for sure. I'm going to heaven. You say, you can't have a right start in 2019 without having that settled, without being able to say, saved, I'm going to heaven and not to hell. Do you know that dear lady that this lady was telling me about, that she only lived 5 more days after that? 5 more days. But I'll tell you something. Never once did she ever come back to that nurse's station after she turned from trusting her work and totally depend on the finished work of Christ. She never once came back to that station and said, is there any way I can know now I'm going to heaven? She knew it. She had peace. She was saved. Why? Because she gave up on her works. She gave up on her efforts. And she put her faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ. You know, there may be somebody in this building who only got 5 more days. Who knows? You know, we don't know how long we're going to live, do we? You know, I was really surprised to hear about Larry Whiteford. I got a CD of his singing. He is a powerful singer. I never knew that he had passed away. That's something. But anyway, you know, we never know, do we? What the future? I mean, Jesus is coming. He could come today. You know, are you saved? I mean, dear friend, that's the way to start the year out right. You need to get 1 John 5:13 in your life. Why? Because it tells us that we can know now that we're going to heaven. Secondly, you know, if you're going to start the year out right, you need 1 John 5:13 in your life and in your heart, because it tells us that we can be saved forever. It tells us that we can know we're going to heaven forever. See, that verse says there, verse 13, these things are written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. See, that's, we can know we're saved forever. We don't have to say, well, boy, I wonder, you know, I remember when I was first saved, man, I wasn't going to good church, and I thought, you know, sin came in my life, and I thought I lost my salvation. I thought, uh-oh, man, I tell you, misery came into my heart and life. Well, I was so glad when I got in the Bible and I found out that when you get saved forever. Amen. See, it doesn't just last as long as you hold out, or it doesn't depend on how what you do. It's what Jesus did. Say, and it's eternal life that He gives us. Say, that's why we can know that we're saved forever. You know, after we get saved, we're not perfect. You know, we still can sin. We got that old nature. We can still sin after we get saved. And it breaks our heart. You know, when you're saved, you can't enjoy sin anymore. I mean, it just grieves you, and it breaks your heart. But we still sin. You know why? We're not perfect. Someone said the only reason why the Pope thinks he's perfect is because he's not married. If he was married, he'd know he wasn't perfect. I'll tell you what. None of us are perfect, even if we're saved. And we can still sin, can't we? We can still get sin in our life. No Christian is perfect. Now, what's the solution? After you sin, when you have salvation, when you've been saved, when you've totally depended on the Lord to save you, what's the solution to sin when it comes to your life? Get saved over again? That's what I thought you had to do. You had to get saved over again when sin got my life. But you know this, how can you lose something that's eternal? Amen. See, I didn't, when sin got in my life, I didn't lose my salvation. God gave me eternal life. But you know what I did lose? I lost fellowship with God. Right. See, sin takes you out of fellowship, takes the joy away of being saved. You know, I tell you, there's nothing like the joy of being saved. And, you know, when sin just takes that joy away and that peace and that fullness of God's love in your life. And that's what sin does. As you let it stay there, it just takes away more and more of your joy. And it takes away that fullness of peace. And even it can start causing you to really wonder whether you are saved or not. I mean, sin can really do a number on us. It still can. Say, it breaks our fellowship with God. Now, what's the solution when sin gets your life and my life? You know, the solution is we don't have to get saved again. Why? Because our salvation is forever. It's eternal. We get eternal life. You can't lose something eternal. Well, what's the solution then when sin gets your life? You know what? You need to get back in fellowship. See, one sin can take you out of fellowship with God. Doesn't take many, just one sin. And to get back into fellowship with God, you don't have to get saved over again, but what you have to do is come, and you got to use 1 John 1:9. That's one of the greatest verses of the Bible. If you're going to really live for God, you got to know that verse, and it's got to be something you just are constantly using, because you're going to have to stay in fellowship. 1 John 1:9, what does it say? If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See? So what do you do when sin gets your life? You confess it. You confess, say, Lord, would you forgive me? And you know what? He says He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin. Say. And God, when He forgives, He forgets. You know, you don't have to come to the Lord and say, Lord, I did this sin again. And God's going to say, again? What do you mean again? See, when you come and confess that sin, God totally forgets it and forgets it. It's like the first time you ever did it to God, because He forgot it. And that's what happens when you get saved, and when sin gets your life, it doesn't take away your eternal life. It takes away your fellowship with God, and what you need to do is to come to the Lord and put that sin under the blood of Jesus Christ and ask Him to forgive you. Deal with it like David did. You know, he committed some awful sins. But you know, David was a man who was truthful and honest, and he was a man that wanted to get sin out of his life, and he was strong. And we need some men who are willing, when they're wrong, when they're not right, to get right. So it takes a man to do that. You can't be a wimp and be right with God. You got to be a man that says, or a woman that says, this is sin in my life, and I'm getting it out of my life. And David did. He went on to live a fruitful life. You know, he died of old age. God used him. God can use you, even if sin got in your life. You confess it, get it right with Him, and go on. You know, I'll never forget one day I was driving down the road. I was pulling my trailer. My family was with me. I have three boys and a girl. And we had a crew cab truck, and the boys would sit in the back seat of the crew cab. And my wife was on the rider's side. I'd be driving, of course. And my daughter would sit right in the middle. And we're coming down from Massachusetts from revival meetings. And I've been preaching, you know, a number of weeks in a row and going to church, you know. And I was probably pretty tired and weary. And I made a choice to get on the New York thoroughfare. I was going to Pennsylvania to hold a meeting. I made this choice to get on the New York thoroughfare. And I wish I'd never done it. Oh, because the price of the toll was just really high. And I was, you know, I didn't have a lot of money at that particular time. And of course, I still don't. But anyway, I didn't have a, you know, I was very, very conscious of tolls and the cost of them and so forth. And so I'm going down the road, and I'm getting in the flesh, okay? I mean, I'm just complaining about it and just, you know, murmuring about sin, saying, okay, God, you know, you let me get on this road for a reason. Maybe if I'd gone the other way, I'd gotten a wreck or something. And you let me get on this toll road, and I'm just complaining about it. I'm getting the flesh, you know, and that's, I'm filled with unbelief, you know. I'm not trusting God that He's going to supply to take care of the toll, you know. And I'm going down this road, this thoroughfare, and I notice my gas needle is getting down towards E. That's where it normally was, where you have a big truck, you pull the trailer, you know, it just kind of always stops right there pretty quick. And I'm going down, I got to get some gas. And I look at the price of gas, and I want to tell you something. It was sky high. Gas had just gone up. I think it was in the late 80s or something, the middle 80s. It really jumped up to 80-some cents a gallon, you know. And, man, that was high back in those days. That'd be wonderful today, wouldn't it? You know, but, you know, 80 cents a gallon, and I'm looking for El Cheapo. I'm not going to pay that. I'm stubborn. I'm being stubborn. I'm being unbelieving. Sin is getting my life. My attitude is rotten, and I'm murmuring and complaining. And I'm going down that road, you know, and looking for El Cheapo. And, man, I'm not finding El Cheapo. You know, one day I did find El Cheapo, though. You know where I found El Cheapo? On Interstate 95, coming up Florida, the coast of Florida, Interstate 95, I was pulling my trailer, and all of a sudden I saw this sign, El Cheapo. Yeah, it was right there. I pulled the trailer over, and I took a picture of it and sent it to my kids, you know. I said, kids, I finally found El Cheapo. The only thing, it wasn't El Cheapo. It was just as price as all the other gas stations around, you know. But I'll tell you something, I'm looking for El Cheapo. There's no El Cheapo. That needle's getting closer and closer to E, and I'm being stubborn about it. I'm believing about it. And my attitude is just rotten and stinking. And you know, my boy, one of my boys, Paul, he looks over, he's in the back seat, he looks over and he sees that needle going on E. He said, Dad, you better stop. We're going to run out of gas. And, Dad, we don't want to run out of gas on this highway, this four-lane highway. It's dark out. It's night. And I tell you what, I just took my frustrations out of my son. I don't know if you've ever done that. You know, have you ever got frustrated and you took it out on your wife, or you took it out on your kids, or you took it out on your husband? And I took my frustrations out of my son. I said, Paul, you sit back down that seat and don't you tell me how to drive this truck. I'm going to stop and get gas when I find El Cheapo. Oh, I tell you something. It got awful quiet in there. And I don't know, I was driving down that road and I sense this big black cloud. It wasn't literal, but I sensed this black cloud coming between me and God, and it stopped. And the sunshine of God's grace and peace and mercy and joy was being blotted out by this big black cloud. And I'm driving down that road. That cloud's getting bigger and darker, and this wall is coming up between me and my kids. I got a wall coming up between my wife. My wife won't even look at me. You know, I got a wall coming up between my kids, and they won't even look at me. We had a dog at that time, and I looked at my dog, and he wouldn't even look at me. And I'll tell you, I'm driving down that road, this black cloud between me and God, this wall between me and my family and my dog. And I tell you what, I'm just miserable. And I finally say, I can't take it. I said, Lord, would you please forgive me for my stinking, rotten attitude, my unbelief, my not trusting you. Would you please forgive me? And praise God, that black cloud went away. Oh, the joy and the peace of God's love began to flood my soul. But you know what? You can't be fully in fellowship with God when there's nothing between you and the Lord. You got to make sure there's nothing between you and people. Say, to be fully in fellowship with God means there's nothing between you and the Lord and nothing between you and your wife, your husband, your kids, or whoever. Nothing, you know? And I had a wall between me and my wife. I had a wall between me and my kids. I had acted in the flesh. I had just had a miserable, stinking, complaining attitude. I had a wall between. And I'll tell you what, I turned to my wife and said, honey, would you please forgive me? I've not been acting the way I should and responding. I've not been living in faith. I've been living in the flesh. I've not been walking in faith and trusting God. Would you please? And I tell you, I turned to my kids. I especially turned to my son, Paul, and I said, Paul, would you please forgive me? And I turned to, I even turned to my dog and asked him to forgive me. And you know what? My wife laughed at me when I used to tell this. She said, that dog, it was like he was a Chinese pug. Have you ever seen a Chinese pug? They're the ugliest dog you ever want to look. I mean, it looks like they were going down the road about 50 miles an hour, and they hit a brick wall. I mean, their nose is all over their faces. It's all nose, and it's just ugly to look at. But I'll tell you something, that dog, it was like he smiled at me. I mean, he had a countenance that's totally different. And my wife laughed, oh, come on. I mean, that's a stretch, honey. You're stretching that. I said, no, I'm not. You know, the Bible tells us that all God's creation serves him. Amen. You know, as the Bible says, Ecclesiastes, when you're up in your bedroom and you're having an argument, you know, a little bird out the window can hear what you're saying. And one day in the day of judgment, God's going to have that little bird come and tell you what you said in that the secrecy of that bedroom. See, all God's created. The wood is God created. The wood can, you know, God can call all of creation to come and to be a witness of what you said or what you did. See, and I'll tell you something. God would use that little dog to make, to show to me that he was pleased with my repenting and getting the wall out and getting things right with God. See? And I'll tell you something, I drove down that road, and what peace and what joy filled my soul as I drove down that road. The black cloud was gone between me and the Lord. The walls were broken down. And I'll tell you something, the first gas station I saw, I pulled in. I didn't look at the price. I said, fill her up, sir. Fill her to the brim. I'll tell you something, it was so good to be in fellowship with the Lord. You know, the most miserable person in the world is not the unsaved person. The most miserable person in the world is that Christian who's not in fellowship with God. You know, to start the year out right, you know what? Some of you need to get in fellowship. You got to get some walls broken down. You got to get in fellowship. There's a black cloud between you and the Lord. And you need to get in fellowship with the Lord. Oh, 1 John 5:13, you need your life to start the new year outright. You need 1 John 5:13. Why? Because it tells us that we can know now we're going to heaven. We can say with authority, saved. And then secondly, you need 1 John 5:13 because it tells us that we are saved forever. We have eternal life, but boy, sin can break up our fellowship with our God. We need to get back in fellowship. And then lastly, you need to have 1 John 5:13 in your life to start the new year outright because of the fact that tells us we can know we're saved forever. We can know we're saved forever. Say, beyond a shadow of a doubt, we can know that we're saved beyond a shadow of a doubt. That's why you need to get 1 John 5:13 in your life. You know, if I could get you to this morning, if I get this crowd of people to be honest, there are three kinds of people here, perhaps, this morning. Probably these three kinds of people. No doubt about it, I'm sure. No perhaps about it. There's probably these three kinds of people. If I get to be honest, there are people here that you know you're saved. I mean, you can say, praise God, I know that. I can give you a Bible reason why I know it. And then if I get you to be honest, there are other people over here, and you'd have to, if you were honest, you'd say, I know I'm not. I've been coming to these meetings. I've been coming to this church, but I know I'm not saved. I know deep down I'm not saved. And so you're in this crowd. But then there's that crowd right in the middle. And that's people who say, I'm just not sure. I think I am. I hope I am. I prayed a prayer years ago, but, you know, I'm just not really sure that it really took. I'm not sure it's really real. My salvation, I'm not really sure about it. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you something. The most dangerous place to be is right here in the middle. See, here's a wonderful place to be. I know I am saved, okay? And you know what? This place over here is a good place to be. I know I'm not saved, because you never get over there until you get here. You got to say, I know I'm not saved. But the middle ground are people who are living in this no man's land. They're driving down the middle of the road, so to speak, of a highway, and they could get hit this way or hit that way. They're driving down this middle road, and they're not really certain of it. They have doubts about it, whether or not they're really saved. Now, that's not the way to start the year outright. With, well, I hope I am. I think I am. I maybe am. Why is that? Why is that not the way to start? Number one, look at 1 John chapter number 5 and verse number 12. Here's the first reason why. The Bible says in verse 12, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Say. So as you look at that verse, there's two things that are said there. Number one, if you have Jesus Christ, you have eternal life. That's the kind of life he's talking about, eternal life. Okay? If you don't have Jesus Christ, you don't have eternal life. So it's not, there's no in between there. See, either you have the Son and have life, or you don't have the Son and you don't have life. See, this Bible is either in my hand or it's not in my hand. It's not floating in between. And that's what God says. See, that's not where you want to be. Well, I hope I'm saved. I think so. You know, I got these doubts lingering in my mind. And you don't want to be there. That's not where you want to be. Because, you know, the Bible says you either have the Son or you don't have the Son. Say. So you need to know that you are saved. Say. You need to get it settled that you are saved. You need to deal with the doubts. You need to deal with the question. Say. That you're saved. Now, that's the first reason, because you're either saved or you're not. There's no in-between ground. The second reason why you need to get it settled and know that you are, and not hope and think and maybe, and know that you are saved, is because you'll never be what God wants you to be. You'll never be what God wants you to be. If you live in this... See, the Bible says, what can the righteous do when the foundation is not there, it's crumbling, when the foundation is not solid? What can there, you see, you're never going to want to live for God when you don't know for sure you're saved. You know, supposing a guy came, knocked at your door and wanted to sell you a vacuum cleaner, and they said, yeah, I got this vacuum cleaner, I'd like to sell it to you. And you said, well, does it work? Well, I hope so. I think so. Would you want to buy a vacuum cleaner from a guy who's not sure that it's going to work or not? Say, then how in the world are you going to live for God when you don't really have a solid foundation that you know for sure that you're saved? Say, you'll never be the Bible Christian you want to be. I mean, you look in the Bible, you never find the Bible Christians hoping and thinking and maybe they're saved. Paul said in 2 Timothy 1:12, for the which cause I suffer these things, nevertheless I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I believe, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Paul knew you saved. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 7, I have a place reserved in heaven for me. I mean, he's not dead. He's alive, and he said, I've got a place reserved in heaven. He knew he was going to heaven for sure, say. He didn't hope, think, maybe. You would never hear Paul turn to Peter and say, Peter, would you please pray for me? I'm really struggling. I got some doubts about whether I'm saved. You'd never hear Paul saying that. You'd never hear Peter turn to Paul and say, you have some doubts too, Peter? Paul? Well, I've got some too. I'm not really sure. You'd never hear him talking that way. They knew that they were saved and on their way to heaven. You can never really be the victorious Christian over sin. You know, a lot of people are struggling with sin in their life, and the real problem is they don't really know for sure. They got doubts, and they're never going to be victorious over that sin. They're never going to want to follow the Lord, get baptized, join the church, and walk with God, and witness and tell other people about the Lord when they're living in this no man's land. I hope, I think, I maybe. Say, you need to get out of that if you're going to have a new start in life. If you're going to have the right start in life, you need to get out of that territory. You know, I was in a revival meeting in Minnesota a number of years ago, and after I preached on hell that particular night, never forget it. And after I got through preaching, I can't remember what kind of response we had, but I went home. I wasn't with my wife. I wasn't with the trailer. My wife, she was staying home for some reason, and I was in this house, staying in the home of some people. And after the service was over, we're sitting around having a cup of tea and a cookie or something like that. And all of a sudden, the phone rings, and I think it's for the pastor or for the people we're staying with. And they got on the phone and said, "Oh, it's for you." And I thought, "Well, it's my wife. She's calling to see how I'm doing." And so I pick up the phone, and it's not my wife. It's a young man who had been in the service that night. He's 21 years old. And he's calling me. He says, "Brother Gilmore," he said, "I heard the message tonight." He said, "I made a profession of faith when I was about 4 years old." He said, I've struggled with it. I've been up and down whether I'm saved. He said, no one knows about it. I've never told my mom, dad, never told anybody else about it. I've just struggled inside with this for years. And sometimes I think I am. Sometimes I don't know if I am." He said, "I heard your message out of hell." He said, "Oh, I don't want to go there." He said, "You know what? I went home and I tried to go to sleep." He said, "I tossed and turned. I couldn't go to sleep. And finally, I just got up and I said, I got to get this thing settled." And you know, he called me on the phone for that reason. He said, "Brother Gilmore, could you meet me down at the church?" I said, "Sure. It's 11 o'clock at night." I said, "Sure." I went down to meet him, and I wish you could have seen his countenance. I mean, he was just grieved. He was just overwhelmed with his doubt and his uncertainty about whether he's saved or not, whether he's going to heaven and not to hell or not. And we went in, sat down in a pew, and I opened up the scripture. He knew the way to be saved. I didn't have to spend a lot of time. He knew it. He'd heard it before all these years. And I said, his name was Dan. I said, "Dan, are you willing right here to renounce that past so-called profession of faith you made? Are you willing to renounce it and just say it wasn't real? How could it be real when he didn't know for sure? All these years struggle. How could it be real?" And so he easily said, "Yes, I am. I'm willing to renounce it." And I said, "Dan, are you willing right here tonight to do what the Bible says to do with all your heart?" And sincere, he said, "Yes." And we got down on our knees, and Dan got down on his knees. He said, "Lord Jesus, I want you to be my Savior. And I'm coming to you. I'm turning from thinking I can do anything to it. I'm trusting you totally, completely in you to be my personal Savior." And after we got through praying, you know what? He got up. I wish you could have seen his smile. I wish you could have seen his countenance. I mean, there was a peace that came over his face. I stuck out my hand to shake his hand. And normally I have a ring here. I take it off when I preach, but I have a ring here. And I grabbed a hold of his hand. And I'll tell you something. He grabbed a hold of my hand and he just squeezed it so tight. He's rubbing my ring against my knuckles, and man, I was going, it was hurting. I'll tell you something, he was so thrilled that now he knew for sure. You know what he told me? He said, "Preacher, I should have done this a long time ago." But he said, I let my pride keep me. He said, "I'm so glad I stamped on my pride tonight, and I got it settled for all eternity." You know something, folks? I know what some of you are thinking. "Well, Brother Gilmore, what did you say way back there when he was 4 years old? What if you..." Well, folks, listen, if he was, what good is the salvation you only think he got for all those years? How in the world are you going to live victoriously when you've been living with this up and down? I don't know for sure. How are you ever going to live victoriously? How are you ever going to be the witness you ought to be when you're living and you got a confidence in something that hasn't given you certainty that you are saved? And I'll tell you something, folks. What if we get to heaven and he finds out he really wasn't? He just got saved because his mommy wanted him to. Or his wife or husband wanted him to. Say, I'll tell you something. Listen, you need to know for sure. I mean, this business of being content with hope so, think so, maybe so, that's not the way to start the new year out, right? You need to start the new year out by stepping on your pride if you're in that condition and say, I'm going to get it settled. I don't care what people think or say. Hey, over the years, I've seen so many people do this very thing. I mean, I've seen it in meetings. I've seen it. People that were living under the cloud of doubt and say, you know, I want to get it settled. I want to know for sure I'm going to heaven and not to hell. Oh, dear friend, is 1 John 5:13 in your life? Is it in your life? That's the way to have a life that is going to be a life that you have that is starting out the right way. Oh, how well do I remember how I doubted day by day, for I did not know for certain that my sins were washed away. That at last by faith I took him, and like sparks from smitten steel, just the hour I did trust him, oh praise God, I know it's real. But it's real, it's real. Oh, I know it's real. Praise God, the doubts are settled, for I know it's real. Let's bow our heads and arch in prayer. Have you started out the new year right? Do you have 1 John 5:13 in your life? Is it in your life? You know something, maybe you're here this morning and you said, preacher, I never knew you could know now. I never knew that. That's what the Bible is all about. That's why Jesus died. That's why you can know it now, because he did it all. It's finished. It's done. All you have to do is totally depend on him. You know, maybe you're like that lady. Oh, I'd like to know now. You can know it now. We'll give you that opportunity, the invitation here to come and say, preacher, I don't know now. If I go to heaven, I want to know it. I want to know it. Would you come and get it settled this morning? Maybe you're here this morning and you're a Christian and there's some black clouds between you and the Lord. Maybe there's some walls between you and some people. And you know, you're out of fellowship. And you know, you can't have a right start in 2019. You gotta come and say, Lord, take the black clouds out. Get the sin out between me and you. I want to be back in fellowship. You gotta come and say, I gotta deal with the walls. Maybe you need to go to somebody. Maybe you need to get right with somebody. Maybe you need to forgive somebody. I don't know what it is, but there's a wall that you need to deal with this morning to have a right start in 2019. And then maybe you're here and you know what? You just don't know if your salvation is real. The salvation you claim to have, you don't know if it's real. And you need to get it settled. You've been having doubts and struggling about it. It's time to just get it settled once and for all. Would you come? If God's speaking to your heart, let's all stand, please, as we turn to our invitation song. And number 390, I believe it is, 390, I surrender all. If God's speaking to your heart in any way this morning, maybe you never knew that you could know now, and you could come and say, I want to know it now. Meet the preacher, and he'll have someone take the Bible, show you how you can know it now. Maybe you're here this morning, and there's some black clouds, there's some walls that you need to deal with. Would you slip out and come, get down your knees here, deal with those things before the Lord? How about it? And maybe you're even not sure that your salvation is real, and you want to get that settled. God's speaking to your heart. Would you come right now as we sing that song, I Surrender All, together? Slip out and come.
I surrender all. you. That's very, very, very important, isn't it? I remember as a teenager realizing I was not saved. I'd made a profession, they tell me, when I was 5, got baptized when I was 12, but I just knew there was nothing inside telling me I need to obey God. And 19 years old, got saved. Some kids have gotten saved at 4 years old and never really doubted it. Some kids have made a profession at 4 years old, and later on they're just not sure. Make sure. Amen? We don't believe in getting saved and resaved, but we do believe in making sure that you are saved. That's a good thing, to make sure. Yes, Lord, I know I've trusted you as my Savior, and your word tells me, these things have I written to you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And what a wonderful thing. And I know there's some here that, boy, you made sure later on. Amen? That's nothing wrong with that. We don't get saved. We can't get saved twice, and you can't get a saved person saved. But if you're not sure you're saved, make sure. Amen? Make sure. Not just for this year. We're talking about eternity. We're talking about eternity. There's no second chance after death. And make sure today, while we have life, make sure. Make sure of that. And what a great encouragement. Just a simple thing. You can share that with anybody. Amen? Be that person, the waitress that works with the other waitress, the person at the gas station that gives the tracked out to the attendant or to the cashier, or as has happened with me, to the hitchhiker. Come to trust the Lord as Savior. Don't pick up hitchhikers today for the most part, but back in the day. And you know, just, hey, people need to know. Most people don't know that they can know. And we do. The Bible says so. All right. We're going to have a word of prayer. Thank you, Brother Gilmore. Appreciate that. And come back tonight. Again, we'll be taking up an offering tonight. We'll be added to what we've set aside for Brother Gilmore. And if you'd like to help out, pray and ask the Lord what he'd have you to give. And give designated to Brother Gilmore tonight in our evening service. And I hope you'll come back. Amen? And again, DVR the Super Bowl. And come here and get the real stuff. Amen? Let's bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the opportunity to be here. Thank you for your salvation, your thorough salvation, Lord. It's for now, for all eternity. And Lord, you keep us. We don't keep ourselves. We're so grateful for that. Lord, I pray that you'd just challenge, take these thoughts that have been presented and help us to be better equipped to share the gospel with others. And to be fully assured in our own hearts that we know that we know that we know that we're saved. And then, Father, I pray that you'd just bless tonight's service. And, Lord, you'd challenge our hearts. And we'll give you praise for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. And you are dismissed. And back there.